Welcome to Bible Talk. This is a podcast where we will read the Bible.
And then we'll talk about it. It's a podcast for everyday people. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. I think in this podcast we may reach the end of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes.
Wow. All right.
Okay. Verse 13 says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." What do you think?
I think it's two verses. But wow, does that pack a punch in just those two verses, you know? I'm hoping it'll come to me. I had this thought last week when I was reading this passage for something else, but the idea of fitting through a narrow gate, like there's not room for you and all your stuff. There's just room for you. There's not room for your family members. There's not room for your home and your fancy car and the stacks of cash that we talked about in the last podcast. It's just you. And I think that was just a really powerful reminder for me of what the difference between a narrow mindset and a wide mindset is.
What does this passage say about the notion or the concept that most everybody is right with God and is going to make it to heaven?
Because there are a lot of good people in this world.
There are. And I don't know what the more recent polling numbers are, but as of a decade ago, 67% of Americans professed Christianity.
Right.
So that would mean two-thirds, two out of three. It's a lot, would be Christian. But this passage says that, I mean, it's Jesus' words, narrow the road that leads to life and only a few find it. That doesn't sound like two-thirds.
No, I think those two words in this passage are, to me, the gut punches, the few and the many. When you look at our world and you see, what is the majority of our society doing about this? What is the majority of our, you know, statistically speaking, even, if you're just taking it surface level? And it's terrifying. Some of the things that we justify. And so the implications of verse 14 are terrifying.
Yeah, I think so too. And I don't think Jesus is being elitist.
No.
Or that he's being hard for the sake of being hard. It's just a reality. You know, what's the thing with broad roads? They're wide. They're easier.
Yeah.
Narrow roads require a lot more focus. And you can't bring as much stuff with you. And they're more, by definition, they're just more difficult. And so, you know, in a place, in a world where so many people claim to have faith, the evidence just doesn't really seem to support that, you know, by the way folks are living. This sounds more like it, actually, where it's like, you know what, I think most people are actually off target. And it brings no joy to say that. But it makes sense. I mean, just look out, look around. Things being the way that they are, things being, by the way, that they have always been.
Oh, sure.
There's never been a time where, you know, the vast majority of people were all doing the right thing. This checks out with what we witness and what we see. Most people are probably not on their way to life. Instead, they're on their way to destruction, and that's really sad.
It is.
Okay, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, which sheep are not very threatening. But inwardly, they are ferocious wolves, and that is very threatening. So this is what a false prophet will do. They'll come across in a way that's, you know, nice.
Docile. Right.
Verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. So you might not be able to see on the surface. They might look like a sheep rather than a wolf. But one thing you'll always be able to count on, verse 16, their fruit, what comes out of them, that will give them away. By their fruit you will recognize them, verse 16. Do people pick grapes off of thorn bushes? Of course they don't. Do they get figs from thistles? Mm-hmm. Of course they don't. Grapes and figs, both very sweet.
Right.
Thorn bushes and thistles are both very prickly. Sweet things don't come from prickly places, typically. Okay? Except for maybe the prickly pear.
Or blackberry bush.
Oh, yeah. They're
prickly.
So verse 17, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A tree cannot bear bad fruit if it is good, and a bad tree cannot bear any good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, and it's thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And the them that it's referring to at the end of verse 20 is these false prophets. So,
right.
You know, one of the reasons I just really, really, really encourage people to read the Bible for themselves.
Yes.
And to become stronger and stronger as they go on in life, and how good they are at pulling content from the Bible and understanding mm-hmm. from the Bible. And you don't have to go to college for it. You don't have to get a master's degree in theology or divinity. Those things are fine. But really, there's so many tools available to us in the form of commentaries, and translations that are more readily understandable. I just encourage people to become a student of the Bible for
right.
themselves so that they'll know whether this podcast is garbage
mm-hmm.
or whether that podcast is garbage or whether one preacher who's charismatic and looks the part is genuinely preaching and teaching the Word of God or whether he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you're just not going to know that if you don't take the time to figure some things out for yourself.
Right. The first thing I thought of when you read this passage, verse 18 specifically, makes this comparison between good and bad, which reminded me of the podcast that we just
did. Sure, just earlier in this chapter.
You know, looking specifically at, okay, well, don't judge. But you've got to make...
You have to
make a judgment call here.
Like, you have to know good from bad.
Right.
And that's a judgment.
Yep. And so I think the first thing I thought of, because it's talking specifically about fruit, and the Bible talks about fruit a lot, but looking specifically at what does it mean by fruit? And I think on one hand, it's actions are easy, right? That's a low-hanging fruit. No pun intended. But what's coming from that fruit is more important to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ask the right questions, you'll get to the core of it. So everybody makes mistakes, right? But we're not talking about mistakes here. We're talking about content of your character, right? We're talking about your conduct.
What comes off of your tree.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
general.
And so I don't know that there's a way to get around the idea that you're being judgy. I think you're being good judgy if you're able to identify those things.
Yeah. I think what we would call that showing discernment. It mm-hmm. sounds nicer.
It sure does, doesn't it? So discerning.
Mm-hmm.
So judgy. They don't even compare.
Judgy bad, discerning good.
Right.
Whoops, they're the same thing.
They are. Yeah. So anyway, I just think that's a really powerful passage
mm-hmm.
about the need for us to know the difference. And I totally agree with you. Without diving deep into the scriptures and becoming a student yourself, ask questions.
Yeah.
Ask them, but answer them because you dug in as a student. And
yep.
you'll know what's good and
so
you'll know what's bad.
Personally, I think if you're not in a consistent Bible study routine, if you're not journaling your questions and your thoughts, if you don't have people in your life who can help you process and understand scripture, whose lives bear good fruit, I think you're missing it.
Right.
And you should stop missing it as soon as you possibly can.
Like this day.
Like this
start
day.
Now.
Get in there. Get on in there.
Yes.
Okay, verse 21.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, Jesus. Mm-hmm. So this underscores the previous verses about being able to tell someone by the fruit that they bear, and the notion that there's a wide road, there's a narrow road. Not everyone's right. making it to life. Some are headed for destruction. And just because someone is religious doesn't necessarily mean they're on the right road.
Right. That's very, very true.
These people say Lord, that's the correct name. Mm-hmm. And they even say, hey, look, we prophesied in your name. I mean, I've never prophesied, so
no.
That's pretty impressive. They've driven out demons in his name.
I've never
driven out a demon, so that's also impressive. Mm. But Jesus' words in verse 23 are so important. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Mm.
Right? That is...
It's sobering.
It's sobering, and it's stark, because what it's saying is in relation to verse 21, if you give that a reread, Ivy.
Yeah. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Knowing Jesus is doing his will. This ties in, by the way, to words that Jesus spoke in John chapter 15 to his friends and his disciples, when he tells them, you're my friends if you do what I command.
Right.
Right. In John chapter 8, you're my disciples if you hold to my teaching. So anyone who does God's will, that's someone that Jesus recognizes. But if they don't do his will, Jesus' words to them in verse 23 are, I never knew you. I'm not familiar with you.
Mm.
Even though they did some standout deeds, the overall fruit of their lives was not something that Jesus recognized.
Right. I think one of the things that stood out to me, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think of, how do we recognize what the will of God is? And the will of God is the kingdom. The answer will always be the kingdom. Jesus, why? Because he allows us to enter the kingdom. The Spirit, why? Because he refines us as we exist in his kingdom. You know, over and over again, you see these themes throughout Scripture, and the idea that God and his will are the kingdom. Therefore, how do we know whether or not we're truly in him, that we'll be received by him, that we exist in his kingdom? And it will be because we did his will.
Mm-hmm. We saw it first.
We do kingdom things.
Saw it first, the kingdom.
Right.
Matthew 6, mm-hmm. a little bit earlier, 33. Absolutely. All right, so once you finish off the chapter here and finish off Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.
Okay. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
The wise and foolish builder story is one that most people are pretty familiar with and they've heard, and it makes sense. You got someone building their house on firm ground, someone who builds their house on shaky ground.
Right.
Of course, when the weather turns and things get unstable, the one who builds their house on better ground is going to stand a chance. It's like this is the story of the three little pigs.
Right. Yeah.
Just sort of retold on a more mature level. I guess this precedes the three pigs, but the point is that it matters how you build and it matters where you build. And
right.
Wisdom is found in those, it says in verse 24, who take these words, mm-hmm. all these words Jesus has been talking in chapters 5 and 6 and 7. Take these words of Jesus's, and rather than just give it an amen,
right,
and applaud it, instead take it, think about it, apply it to their life. Don't merely listen, but do what it says.
Right.
Put it into practice. That's the wise builder. Mm. And those who do something else, some variation of something else, that's the foolish builder. And that foolish builder should not expect that in difficult times, they're going to have the structure, they're going to have the strength to withhandle the storms of life. And storms come.
Oh, yeah. They do.
At one time or another, storms have to come into everybody's life. And that'll be the test of whether we're genuinely spiritual people,
mm-hmm.
genuinely followers of Jesus or
right.
not, because our response to the storm
right.
will tell everything.
It
that
will
be the fruit.
Yes.
And will certainly be revealed. And one thing I'll say, and then I'll hand it over to you to wrap us up, but I don't think we should use this as a way to tear down other Christians or to
absolutely
delight in the fact that, yeah, a lot of people who say they're Christians aren't really Christians, are they? And that's probably true. It's regrettably true. And I think it's with a heart of compassion and sadness
right.
that we should recognize that. And we should be careful
not
to add ourselves to the wrong side of the ledger, because none
sure.
of us are beyond
no.
Being, you know,
none
hearers
of
the word.
Having a plank.
Exactly.
Right.
But not doers of the word. So wrap us up, Ivy.
Okay. Well, we are so grateful that you've joined us today. And we'd like to leave you with this thought.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says.